We're doing this basics series, if you've been around, and if you haven't, here's kind of what we've been doing. Just kind of got the last thing we talked about the last several months, we're talking about our identity in Christ, who we are in Christ, and whether or not we actually believe who we are in Christ or not. And we had a few things we talked about over the course of about 2 months. And so then we thought, wouldn't it be neat to take sort of that foundation of who we are in Christ, and how does that actually translate into the real world, into day-to-day living? Because we can theoretically believe in Jesus, but that's one thing, and it's another thing to actually live our lives like we believe it. And so that's this series, this basic series. It's sort of the foundational, spirit-led devotions that we should all be part of as we follow Jesus, as we walk with Jesus. The B in basics stands for believe. And again, it's not believe like that, the kind of belief that gets us into heaven. It's not kind of like the salvation type of belief. It's more like the belief that we actually believe all the things that Jesus says about us is true. We believe that this book is true, and we want to live our lives based upon this. And so that's kind of like the whole last series, the whole kind of couple months we talked about that. We talked about worship, adoration, and how that should needs to be part of our lives. And last week we talked about Scripture and how a daily, regular intake of the Scripture in all its forms, studying it and memorizing it and reading it and hearing it, and how that needs to be part of our lives. If we're going to grow to be the kind of people that Jesus wants us to be, these are the types of things that we need to be doing. And this is not an exhaustive list by any means, just a way to kind of remind us of some of the things that we should be about. In Acts chapter 2, read a passage a few weeks ago in Acts chapter 2 about the early church. And they were just getting going, this early church, and the first things that these new, brand new Christians were doing were very similar to this list that we have here. You can read the whole list if you want to go to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. You can read the whole list, but many of these things are on this list here. Last week we talked about the first thing they devoted themselves to was the apostles' teaching. And we said, well, how does the apostles' teaching correlate to studying Scripture? And we talked a little bit about it. You can go back and listen to the tape last week if you need to hear that again. But for today, we'll just jump right into the fourth on that list. And we're going to be talking about intercession. And we're talking about prayer. So we're going to be talking about prayer in general. And then we're going to be talking about intercession specifically. And I'll explain that, what that means, in just a minute. If I had to say that two of these on this list would maybe be slightly raised a little bit above others, it might be the study of Scripture and prayer. And those two things go together, and it's hard to really separate those. In fact, like the study of Scripture, and even like worship, for that matter, prayer is invaluable in our life. And it's not just something that we say we want to be a part of. It's not just something we think we should do because we're Christians. But it's because we believe that when we pray, God always hears us when we pray. And He always responds to our prayer. And we're going to talk about that as we go along today. To be like Jesus, and if that's our goal as Christians, which it is, to be like Jesus, to live our lives like Jesus lived, then we need to be people of prayer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it's one of those verses that's very difficult. It's a difficult verse, but it's very short and very simple. It says basically, pray constantly. That's that verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray constantly, or pray continually. What does that mean? How do we do that? Well, it means that we need to make prayer a regular part of our lives, meaning that our life should be characterized by communion and communication with God. Prayer is an example of our unbroken relationship with God. So what that means practically is that we need to be aware of Him in our daily lives. Whatever we're doing, whatever we're thinking about, whatever we're working on, the things that we're playing at, just kind of however we're spending our time, we need to bring God into that. And one of the ways we can do that is through a continual prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 lists four different kinds of prayers. And this is kind of a unique verse in that there's all sorts of different types of prayers. There's all sorts of different ways we can pray. 1 Timothy 2, 1 lists four of these. And let me just read it. Petitions, prayers, kind of general, intercessions, and thanksgivings. Four different ways we can pray. And I believe, and I know you guys do too, that all forms, all types of prayer are important and needed and necessary, and they're all appropriate for different portions of our days as we go along the day. And so today, I just want to focus, instead of focusing on the whole broad category of prayer, which is immense, I just want to focus on one of these types of prayers, and that's the I up there that you see. And that's intercession. I would probably define or describe intercession or intercessory prayer. You may have heard it talk about like that. I would kind of define it this way. It's the act of praying on behalf of someone else. Okay? It's the act of praying on behalf of someone else. It's different, I would say, than the other forms of prayer that we read in that verse, and I guess others, as we read them around and know the different types of prayer. It's different from the other forms of prayer in that we're not just praying for somebody, but we're going a little deeper. We're identifying in prayer for someone else. Here's the difference, practically speaking. I may say, I'll use Cynthia, for example, right here. I may pray, like Cynthia says, that she needs, hey, Mark, can you pray for me? I got ache and pain in my leg. Can you pray for that? Well, I might say, yeah, I'll pray for you, and I even put my hand on there, and we can pray for healing. I pray for Cynthia that would be kind of a general form of prayer. An intercessory prayer would be, I would actually, in some spiritual connection with Cynthia, I would join with her on behalf of her. I would pray alongside of her and with her. The difference really is in its intensity. It's an intensified form of prayer. And I know I'm always sharing books and stuff with you guys probably never read or don't care about, but I'm going to do another one. Here's a book. If you want to learn about what it means to pray, be an intercessor in prayer, you need to read this book right here. It's called Rees Howell's Intercessor. It's a biography, and it's long, and it's heavy, and it's maybe hard to read a little bit, but if you like biographies, and if you like to talk about, if you're interested in learning more about what it means to be an intercessor in prayer, and we're going to talk a little bit about it today, this is a book you have to read. And I would loan this to somebody as long as I get an IOU that you'll give it back, because it's one that I love, and I've got it all marked up, so I need that back. And I'll talk about a few other books in a minute, maybe, if I remember. So, intercession, an intensified form of prayer. And I really think, and you guys could disagree with me, that's fine, but I really think that intercession is the primary way Jesus prayed when he was a human being. Okay? And by the way, it's still the primary way Jesus prays for us right now in this moment as he's in heaven, okay? When Jesus was on earth, there's many examples where it says Jesus went off to pray. He went off to pray, but a couple of different times we see a super intensified form of prayer that Jesus had. One of the most dramatic of this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that? Right before the soldiers came to carry him off to the cross, Jesus is in the garden and he's praying. It says that he prayed so intensely that sweat was like drops of blood. Jesus was an intense prayer warrior, as we would expect nothing less from Jesus. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, a little bit later than we just read, it says Jesus right now is the mediator between the Father and us, between God and people. Jesus stands in between us. He not only mediated salvation on the cross, he's now continually mediating everything we need, including what we need in prayer. And again, we'll get into that in just 1 minute. But because of Jesus' mediation, his intercession, and because we are filled with his Spirit right now, if we believe in Jesus, we can now intercede the same way that Jesus did. We can now intercede and be intercessors on behalf of other believers and the lost, people out in the world that we're praying for. We can ask God to grant us our requests according to his will. So we learn more about the ministry of intercession and how we can intercede for others. And we do this when we understand and we even experience how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So now, if you're in Romans 8, let me read a couple of verses that talk about how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. How can we learn to be intercessors? Well, one of the ways is we learn from the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 26, Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, these two verses are chock full of good stuff, and I want to just kind of spend the rest of our time slowly kind of going through these verses a little bit, and then we'll kind of wrap up in the end with some ways that we can grow in intercession if that's our heart to do that today. It's not, maybe not for everybody here, but maybe some of us, God's leading us to this. And so that's what we want to wrap that up in a minute. Told you that this series is going to be real practical, so we're going to get into that practical as we close out in our time today. But first of all, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, on our behalf. He does this because he loves us. He does this because he wants what's best for us. He is for us. He is on our side. And if you read the entirety of Romans 8, you'll pick up that context of what I just said about that. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Meaning this, that when our prayers are ineffective, or when our prayers are we don't even know what to pray for, or we're so distraught, or we're so burdened over something, all we can do is cry out to him, help us, intercede for us, plead our case. That's when the Holy Spirit really goes to work for us. And he makes our prayers effective. This interesting little word here, where it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us. That little word for help, you would think that word would be all over the Bible. You think it would be hundreds of times, right? The word help, pretty simple word. In fact, that word help, this little word right here, is only found twice in the whole Bible. And so anytime a word's used that infrequently, it's probably good to kind of stop for a minute, look at why that is. The other time, it's mentioned here, but the other time it's mentioned is a fairly famous story in Luke chapter 10. It's the story where there's two sisters, Martha and Mary, and Jesus and his disciples come to their house, and they want to have, they're going to have some just downtime, some meal together. And so Martha is sort of busy getting all the dinner and food and stuff ready. And you remember what Mary was doing at the time? She's just sitting there with Jesus, just sitting there listening to what Jesus is talking about. And it was like one of my favorite stories in the Bible. This is an amazing little story there. Because all Mary doing, like she's just sitting there and it goes on. But Martha's like doing all the work. And I don't know if you remember. And we're so hard on Martha. Let's not get hard on her. But like she goes, hey, Jesus, like tell Mary to get up and help me. Right? I paraphrase that. But tell Mary to get up and help me. Like, I'm doing all the work. She's just sitting there. Get up and help me. Right? That's that word right there. The same word. It means to help in my task, to help me, to help to support me, to help me with the work that I need to get done. And Martha was being very practical, right? Like, I got all this stuff to do. There's all these men. They're hungry. I got to get all this food ready. And I need some help. Some help. So that's that. Okay. And then it's used here where the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit comes to support us, help us in the work, help us with the work. Let me tell you what it doesn't mean, okay? It doesn't mean that the Spirit prays instead of us, okay? It's not passive. It's not like we just sit and go, well, the Holy Spirit's going to do it, so I'm just not going to pray at all. I'm just going to let Him do it. That's not what that means, okay? It doesn't mean that we don't do anything. It means that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He assists us. He helps us. He supports us in our prayers. And that's a pretty common idea in the Christian life, right? It's like we don't just sit around and do nothing and let God do all the work. No, we come alongside of the work that He's doing and ask Him for His help when we need it. And we need it all the time. All the time, friends. When we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit helps us. He strengthens us. He intercedes on our behalf. Are you getting it? Are you getting the idea? The Spirit identifies in our weakness and comes to our aid. That's what it means to intercede. When we're sick and we need healing and we're desperate, the Holy Spirit pleads for us to the Father for that healing that we need. When we're weary and tired and worn out and in need of strength, the Holy Spirit pleads to the Father that He will give us that strength. When we're worried over the needs of someone we love, the Holy Spirit pleads for us. When we're full of guilt and shame over something we've done that we shouldn't have done, the Holy Spirit pleads our case to the Father. And in part, what He's pleading for us is what Jesus gave a little message to the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, He told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, Paul." Power, Paul, power is perfected in your weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And that's what the Holy Spirit's intercession does in our lives. When we're weak, He is strong. And He is sufficient. And He is perfected. So the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He bears our burdens. He walks with us through our burdens. Listen, He doesn't always take the burden away, does He? Shake your head yes or no. Does He always take our burdens away? Sometimes He does. Yeah, sometimes He does, sometimes He does not. He doesn't always take our burdens away, but He always walks with us through them. He always does. Then He takes our prayers and He makes them into effectual intercession before the throne of the Father. And in this way, if you're following along, taking notes, in this way, number two, intercession reaches the heart of God. Intercession reaches the heart of God. Isn't it encouraging? It is to me that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. He's pleading for us right now to the Father. And as great as that is, and that's great, it gets better, right? In Romans 8, if you skip down a little bit, if you're there to verse 34, we read even more good news because it tells us that not only is the Holy Spirit interceding for us, Jesus himself is interceding for us. Think about this for a minute, okay? Stop and think about this. You know anything about the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? Three equal, co-equal parts, same, different forms, if you will, but the same essence. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Two of those three are pleading our case, are interceding for us to the third of those, right? So Son, Spirit are interceding to the Father. It's just like, it's one of those, like I don't get it. It's an amazing truth. If you went over to look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, you'll find an amazing verse. It says that not only is Jesus interceding for us, it says that Jesus lives to intercede for us. The existence of Jesus right now is to intercede on behalf of us, his people. So not only did he provide the way, he is the way, but he's also right now continuing to intercede on our behalf. He's linking our spirit with him. He's linking our heart with him. And Jesus' prayers are perfect. The Holy Spirit's prayers are perfect. One of the Father's greatest purposes in prayer is intimacy. He wants us to commune with him, to communicate with him. We know that God's sovereign. Yeah, we know that God knows everything. We know that Scripture says that we know that he knows what we're going to say before we even say it. That's all true. So why do we pray? Because when we pray, it connects our human being hearts with the heart of the Father. And it brings us intimacy that we will not have. We will not share with the Father if we don't pray. To bring our hearts and minds and desires, and he connects us through his Spirit. And we realize and remember that every time we pray, divine action goes into work. That he hears and acts upon every prayer because the Spirit and the Son are interceding on our behalf, and their prayers aren't wasted. Their prayers are not wasted. And so it becomes the place of intimacy, and it becomes the place of victory when we're joined with Almighty God. So we pray in the Spirit, and we pray through the Son, and our hearts are joined with the Father's heart because their intercession always reaches the heart of God. Look at the end of verse 27, back in Romans 8. Let's just read verse 27 again. And he who searches our hearts, okay, there we go. See, he searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You see that? Our hearts are being linked to the Father's heart and to the Father's mind. So anytime we pray in the Spirit, we're praying in harmony with God's will. Let me ask you a question and respond. Feel free to respond to this if you want. Is it possible for us to pray outside of the will of God?
Yes.
Thank you. That's a definite yes. What do you guys, the rest of you guys, what do you think? Is it possible for us to pray outside the will of God? Yeah, I would say so, because like sometimes, like I could pray for a new Ferrari, right? I could pray I could just say that. That may or may not be the will of God to give me that new Ferrari. And that's just a silly example, but there could be, like, legitimate. So I would agree with you. It is possible for us to pray outside the will of God. Let me ask you a follow-up question. Is it possible for the Holy Spirit or for the Son Jesus to pray outside of the will of God? No, it's not. So you see how important it is for us. Because if left to ourselves, it's just like a bunch of stuff, right? We just mess it up. We just humanize it, and we just get it wrong. When we pray, even sometimes with the best intentions, sometimes we're just going to get it wrong. Sometimes we're going to pray outside the will of God. But if we're praying in the Spirit, if we're praying and remembering that Jesus is interceding for us, then we're never going to get it wrong, because they will never get it wrong. Jesus will never get it wrong. The Holy Spirit will never get it wrong. And so our prayers, the Spirit's intercession on our behalf, Jesus' intercession on our behalf, will always achieve the will of God, and it will always achieve God's desires for us. When the Spirit intercedes for us, it means that He energizes us and sustains our prayers, and our Spirit-led prayers will be according to God's will, because they will bring glory to the Father. They will find their basis in the character of God and in the Word of God. They will be faith-filled, and we will always find God's answers. And that's one of those things that it's true, but we sometimes don't believe it's true. Okay, it's true that our prayers will, these types of prayers will always find the will of God. That is true according to Scripture and according to experience, even in our lives. It is true, but we don't always live and believe like it's true. And so what I want to close up with, we have some time here, is talking a little bit about what it means to grow in this area of intercession and prayer. And this may be your desire today, and it may be not. It may be God pushing you a little bit. Hey, I want to grow you in this area. And if that's you, encourage you to just kind of let what we're going to talk about here, let some of these scriptures that we're going to about to read, these thoughts that we're going to talk about, let them kind of flow into your mind and heart, and see what the Lord might want to do with them today. Because if we want to have a more consistent prayer life, okay, if we want to spend extended times of prayer, if we have a hard time praying for an extended period of time, like if that's a difficult thing for you to do, which is for a lot of people, okay, then maybe this is going to be for you. If you have a desire to hear more of your prayers get answered, if you even have a desire to intercede, to learn how to intercede on behalf of other people a little bit more, if we want to grow in our prayer and in our intercession, here's one little key that will help us with this. We must continue to grow in our dependence on the Holy Spirit to lead us into the presence of God. That's the key, I think. That's what I've learned. If we want to be people that grow in prayer and intimacy with God, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into His presence. So we don't go to prayer just in our flesh, in other words. We go to prayer in the Spirit. There's a big difference in that. And you've probably understood that in your life. So how do we grow in intercession? Let's kind of talk a little bit about this real quick. I'm almost done. But to be people of prayer and intercession, I think it's something that takes us our entire life to learn. I don't think it's something, it's not like a quick fix overnight sort of formula, like if you do this, this, and this, then you're going to be a better intercessor. It's not it. It's something we grow in, which really is true of any of these things that we've been talking about, but maybe especially this one. If we want to learn how to be people that pray according to the heart of God and the presence of God, it's something we grow in, something we learn. And so here's a few, I'm just going to give you four things, and You can see these in your notes if you have them. Just four quick little things to help us if we want to go deeper into our prayer life and maybe even the specific area of intercession. Here's just four things that we can do that might help us with that. The first one is we need to abide. We need to abide in Jesus. In John chapter 15, verse 17, Jesus says, "If you abide," it means remain, "in me, and my words abide or remain in you, then you can ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you." Jesus said that. Jesus said that. He said, you can ask for anything you want, and it will be done for you. I know you're sitting there, before you say, really, anything? Are you like the new Ferrari? Anything, right? Like, before you kind of go there and get kind of cynical about it for a minute, let's talk a little bit about what I think Jesus is talking about here. Understand that that only when we're truly consistently abiding, that is living and enduring in Jesus, will he fulfill this promise. That's what he says, right? There's a little bit of a thing. You can ask anything according to my will, but here's kind of the precursor to that. Here's the prerequisite: that you abide in me. That you abide, and that my words abide in you. And so what Jesus is saying, that I will fulfill this promise, but you need to remain in me. You need to endure in me. And when we're abiding in Jesus, when we're enduring in Jesus, you know what's going to happen? Something awesome happens when we do this. That all of a sudden, the things that we thought we wanted to ask Jesus, the things that we thought we wanted to get from Jesus, sometimes those things kind of fade away, and the things that he wants us to have, the things that he wants us to do, the things that he wants us to get, come more and more and more and more and more into our lives. And so we begin to pray, not for the list of things we want, but we get to pray for the list of things that he wants. And when we're abiding in him and we're remaining in him, we begin to pray less and less and less in the flesh and more and more and more in the spirit. And then those things will come to us. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, John says about this, he says, "The one who abides in him," Jesus, "should walk just as Jesus did." So how do we abide in Jesus? Well, it means we learn to live our lives the way that Jesus lived his life. And you're like, well, he lived his perfectly, so that means I should be living my life perfectly? Yeah. Yes. That's true. And it's so hard and so difficult. And that's why, you know, I said we need the Spirit's help every minute of every day. Because if we're going to live to this, which is such a high calling, but if we want to live up there, which should be our goal, it should be where we're going for, then we need help with that. And so to truly abide in Jesus means that we're willing for his Spirit to live through us and to live the life that the Savior would have lived if he was living in our shoes. That's what that means. To live the life that Jesus would have lived if Jesus was here. If Jesus was me instead of Mark, what kind of life would Jesus be living? That's the kind of life I need the Spirit's help to live out. And so do you. So the first way that we can kind of go deeper into this is by abiding in Jesus. And when we do that, when we abide in Jesus, spending time with him every day, it leads us to number two, which is waiting upon Jesus to do, waiting upon the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Isaiah 4, chapter 40, verse 31 famously says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. If we want to be people, men and women, who want to learn how to pray more, to learn how to enter into the presence of God more, we need to be people who just wait on the Lord, which I'll tell you what is super hard. It's always been super hard, or Isaiah wouldn't have got that prophecy like 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, but it's even hard today, right? When we think of all the things that we have to do, all the lists of our distractions. And some of them are good. Like, I gotta read my Bible today. I gotta read my Bible, so I don't have time to wait over there because I gotta get into the Bible. Like, that's a good thing to get into the Bible, but maybe that day all the Holy Spirit's telling you to do is not just forget the Bible for a minute and just wait on me. Just wait into my presence. And then we'll see about the Bible in a minute. I don't know. Maybe. But it's in our times of abiding and in our times of waiting, it's when the Spirit renews us. He renews our strength, like we just read in that verse. He begins to search our hearts. We quiet down for a minute, and we just kind of lay aside all the distractions of the world, and we just kind of put them all aside, and we just, us and the Lord and His Spirit is flowing back and forth. Jesus is flowing up and down that ladder, right, that He talks about. And we're entering into a deeper presence of God. And when that happens, sometimes, here's a third area, sometimes some things come into our mind that we need to learn to confess. So confessing is the third one. Again, another pretty famous verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He, Jesus, is faithful and righteous, and He will forgive us our sins, and He will cleanse us of our sins. So the promise there is that our sins are already paid. Jesus paid the price for every single one of our sins, past, present, or future. So if I were to die right now, just collapse right here, and I'm on my way to heaven, well, I'm on my way to heaven because all my sins are forgiven. I'm positionally forgiven, okay, by the cross. That sealed the deal for all of us. Our sins are completely forgiven. But it doesn't mean that it put a cork on the bottle of sin and we never sin again. I wish it was that way, but it's not. You know, it's not. We sometimes still do things we shouldn't. We say things or do things or whatever. And so there's times where we need to just confess those sins. So what the question is, why do we confess them if they're already forgiven? Why do we need to confess them? Because sin is a blockage. It's a blockage of our intimacy with God. If we want to get that intimacy with Him, if we want to enter into that time of intercession with Him, we need to get our sin out of the way. And we need to confess that sin. We need to admit and agree. That's all that word means. Just, I agree with you, God, that I blew it today. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have whatever. And then we move on. Because we know the promise is He's cleansed us of that sin. And if we need to do it 1,000 times in a day, we do it 1,000 times, and every single time, we're still forgiven. And the fourth area here is that that the Spirit helps us in obeying all the presence of God. Obeying all the promises of God. The fourth thing is obeying. So abiding, waiting, confessing if needed. And then fourth is obeying. John chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus said, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, and I remain in His love." How did Jesus keep the Father's commands? Use one word. How did he do it? Yeah, those are all good, right? Here's another one. Perfectly. How did Jesus keep the Father's commands? He did it perfectly. He never once didn't keep the Father's command. He did it perfectly all the time. And so what does this verse say? If you keep my commands, just like I kept the Father's commands, you will remain in my love. Any command that the Holy Spirit gives us to follow must be immediately obeyed. Because obedience, or disobedience, I should say, is another blocker to keep us from the presence of God. So obedience will keep us flowing into the presence of God. If we're reading the Scripture and we come across a command to obey, we need to work on it. We need to do it. We need to obey it. If we're praying and we hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit tell us to do something, we need to get up and do it. Let me share you. I do not have time to share a quick example, even a quick one. yeah, I do. Come and do it. Okay. It's real quick. Friday morning, woke up, kind of my day off, and I was sitting around in the morning, normal day, drink a cup of coffee, and just, like, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Like, I don't always say that. I was just, like, kind of, that was from Him. Like, what do you want me to do today? I want to do what you want me to do. Because sometimes on my day off, I just kind of do what I want to do, right? And I was like, I don't want to do that. I want to do what do you want me to do today? And so then I was just drinking coffee and kind of walking around thinking about that. And I walked over, and there's my cell phone. I pick it up. And the first thing I see, there was a text message from, you guys know Debbie. She normally sits over there, not here today. Debbie Lordson. There's a text message on her, says, hey, what are you doing today? You have time to help move some food for loaves and fishes from Albertsons to a storage unit. And I said, yeah, I do. I have to. And I really think, and again, it doesn't always happen like that. But when it does happen like that, super fun, right? It's like, Lord, what do you want me to do? He immediately answered their prayer. Like, here's what I want you to do. This is it right here. I'm like, all right. So me and my two boys, we went over there and we spent the day doing that. It was awesome. Met some good people and were able to kind of help that ministry out. So whether we get a command from the scripture, whether we get a command directly downloaded from the Holy Spirit, we need to grow in our obedience to those commands. And these are just some of the ways that the Holy Spirit will help us in our prayer and intercession. And I really believe it all depends upon our dependence on the Spirit leading us into the presence of God. So, if you want to follow up on that at all, there's a lot of people here way further along this road than me, and I say that in honesty. So, I don't point anybody out to embarrass anybody. There's some prayer warriors in this building right here, and I would encourage you to, you might want to talk to somebody or talk to me, and I can even direct you to somebody about if you want to grow in this area of intercession and prayer. I encourage you to do that. I know there's a bunch of blockers that keep us from praying, and I know that a lot of those are just from the devil. He just wants to keep us from doing the things that Jesus wants us to do. So even if it's just that, come and get some prayer and ask for help because we all need it. Will you pray with me? And then I think we'll sing a song and we'll head on out. Father, I just love you and I just pray that you take my jumbled words and make them good somehow. Just make them effective in our lives. And take the truth that we talked about today and let it not be in vain. Let it not be ineffective. Let it be powerful. I know that the scripture is living and alive and active. And I would ask and plead with you that the truths that we picked out from scripture today will flow through us and keep us thinking about these things long after we leave this building, and that we would be people who strive to grow in this area of prayer and intercession, that we would learn to abide in you and wait upon you and confess our sins if we need to and learn how to obey you better and quicker. So we thank you, Father, for all the things that we're able to do today. And I would pray that if there's any blockers here this morning, things that are just keeping people from entering into a deeper relationship with you in prayer and intercession, I would pray, Father, that you would deliver us from those things. If it's sin issues, if it's embarrassment issues, if it's distractions, whatever it is that may be hindering our prayer lives or even coming and seeking prayer even right now, I would ask, Father, that you would protect us from those and deliver us from those. I pray for protection for every one of us, for this church, for all of us who are part of this church and the church around the world today, that you would unify us, God, in this time of disunification in our world. It seems like there's so much conflict. I pray that believers, true believers like us, will be unified with one another. And whether or not we go to church here or around the corner or down the street or in a different country, God, that there will be unity amongst your people in the body of Christ, and that we will work together to bring about your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, is our prayer this morning. Amen.